You're listening to the Hope Community Church Podcast. Our prayer for you is that as you listen, you'll be engaged, encouraged, and expectant for all that God wants to accomplish in your heart and in your life. If you enjoy this podcast, please share it with friends and family so that the gospel message may continue to go out to the ends of the earth. Thank you for joining us.
If you will, look at the passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:28. It says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then we look at 2 Thessalonians 3:18. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let's pray together. Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. He hears from us. Then we move our prayer to being grateful and thankful today. We enter here with thanksgiving. Let the Holy Spirit show you even in this prayer that what you need to be thankful for. We pray for others who overlap into our life. Some they're in need of salvation. Some have big decisions to make in spiritual direction. Some are carrying a heavy load emotionally, even with their mental health. Some are needing financial guidance on just how to live in the principles of our Lord financially. Some need Christian truth-telling friends. Some are grieving because of loss. Some are sick with seasonal illnesses. Some are diagnosed with diseases. If you know some of these people who overlap into your life, pray for them right now. Give them to our Heavenly Father. We pray for nations, and unless you've just absolutely been off the grid, you know what's happening in Iran, the Middle East, Israel, our own nation. And we pray for the peace of that, just to help you and to teach you that the center of all this is Jerusalem, always has been, always will be. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Scripture asks us to do that. So just pray our troops, other troops. I know pastors who are stranded in Israel, shelter in place with their families and their people. Just a lot going on. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That even has to do with Ukraine and Russia. Just all that unrest. Pray for our nation, that our hearts will turn back to him, the movements of God upon our nation. Pray for that. It begins with you and it begins with me. Would you pray a blessing over those who are around you today? Literally, aisles and seats around you. Pray for your family, a blessing over them wherever they may be. Some of you gave, you invest in our ministry here. Every day we exist to do nothing but advance the kingdom and to share the gospel. And we thank you for your investment, your gifts to us. Ask the Lord to bless those. And then we look beyond an offering, that there's a greater offering here, and that's you. And we say with the words of Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me, send us, is our prayer. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and I'm your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in this room. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. I missed you last Sunday. I want to take this opportunity to thank Logan for preaching last Sunday. He's a gifted young man. Don't tell him, okay? Don't let him know that. But he's very gifted in many, many ways. And on Thursday, I said, man, I can't do it. I can't go. And so I've laughed about this. I sent him what I call my notes and quotes. And I sent them to him, and I said, just carve out a sermon out of this. So he took my notes and quotes. And I've laughed about this quietly because he's quoting people and reading people that he has no idea who they are. And I've had to laugh about that a little bit. But Logan, I thank you, and I love you, and you know that. And he did carve it out and is able, and I'm grateful to him. And I'm going to say, I've been a sick boy, pretty sick. And I want to thank Dr. Lewis back here, Adam Lewis. He's not only a medical doctor, but a dear friend, and he's been caring for the preacher. I didn't want him to get a shot or a syringe because I thought he'd just take it out on me, you know, for all the sermons he's had to endure. But Doc, thanks for looking after me and taking care of us. And so I'm not 100%. And you're probably going, when was I ever, right? But I'm just giving you the best I can right now today. So I wanted to be with you. I so thrown myself into the series. I just didn't want to let it go I wanted to be a part of it. So hang with me. And you're probably going, well, he's not well. It'd be a short sermon. Maybe. You might be right. We'll see. Okay. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is where we are today. We're concentrating. We're doing grace every Sunday. And we're handling grace in a more detailed way every Wednesday night. So today we're going to be handling that grace is a saving grace to us. I'm a typical guy. Guys are pretty logistical. Like, we put the steps together. You say you want to do this. Well, in our mind, we're going A, B, C, D, E. You know, what's step one, step two, step three? And I operate that way. It's the way my mind operates. Probably served me well when I was with UPS all those years ago is because it's all logistical sequence and I just work in that environment really well. But I notice when I look at scripture, I notice sequences. Like I notice the steps that it brings out. I know it shows us how to enter parts of life and even exit parts of life. You look at the links, how is that all linked together? Which is the way I really look at scripture. And I just want to give you a four example, like in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's a life verse for Julie and me, but I instantly see the sequence and the progression in here, like trust in the Lord, don't rely on your understanding, acknowledge him, he guides your paths. It's just boom, 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 boom. You know, there's four steps in there. Three of them are yours and one of them is his. And it just, you see the sequence that's going on there. So as a pastor, I don't want a doctrine that's just academic and intellectual. I want a doctrine that I can live it out in the flesh. It's very practical. It's walking with him. And how do I put that into practice? That's just the way I lead. That's the way I lead you all and the way I preach. But in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, there's a sequence here. And it has to do with three things, salvation and grace and faith. And there is a way of how all that is working together for you in it being a saving grace. And that's what I want to give you today. Paul begins it in Ephesians 2, 5. He starts it off by saying that we are made alive through Christ, the Messiah, though we were dead in our trespasses. And then he just, boom, you are saved by grace. So he sets that precedent already there. Then there's a sequence that follows this, and that is included in this. It's Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, makes us alive, boom, death to life, with the Messiah in Christ. You are saved by grace. We just handled that. Verse 6, together with Christ, look at this progression. He's raised us up. He's seated us in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, so that in the coming ages, we become a walking billboard. We become a walking advertisement for his grace, that the coming ages, he might display his immeasurable riches of grace through his kindness to us, that all comes through Christ Jesus. And I want to hang out with you there in Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 for a moment. Because Ephesians 2 begins with, we were dead and now we've come to life. Again, notice the sequence. We were dead, and what does he do? He brings us to life. Spiritually, you and I were dead, and he brings us to spiritual life, to abundant life, eternal life, all that is there, and then it raises us. Now, some of you may remember last semester, I believe it was, on our Wednesday night's Doctrine of Salvation, and it may have been two semesters ago. Heck, I don't know, but we were dealing with the doctrine of salvation, and we were dealing with everything in the world is decaying or breaking down, okay? It's all descending. Like every bridge you cross, no matter how new or old it is deteriorating. I know it's going to make you feel good when you go over the Kentucky River, but all of it, everything is breaking down, everything. Everything is decaying, deteriorating, breaking down. But when it comes to the world and the spirit, everything is ascending. Ascending. Even scripture says that my outward me is wasting away. But the spirit inside of me in Christ is welling up. It's going to finish strong. Now the old me is deteriorating. But the in me of him and being in Christ is just, it's just ascending. The old me is descending and deteriorating. So we get that picture that is going on here, that it is a beautiful picture of how he brings death to life. He raises us. It's really the same picture of Christ, where he has raised him, he has seated him, he has put him in the high places. All that is taking place here of going from death into life, of how he is putting that together. And we know that when we handle grace, and we go back to not only last Sunday with Logan, but Wednesday night, we were handling grace called a liberating grace or a freeing grace, that our grace is undeserved. You don't get grace and go, well, I knew I needed it. You know, I knew it was mine. You know, with the entitlement, it's undeserved. It's not earned in any form or fashion. But here's what happened Wednesday night, and in our study, putting it together, I didn't plan on this happening. This is where I pray for words of knowledge and direction. One thing that developed Wednesday night in our study was the fact that we live under an old master. We have a master, and God's grace is presented to us, and it gives me an opportunity to switch masters. Like I want you to look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, okay? We're still in Ephesians 2. Paul said, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Spiritually, we're dead. Verse 2, in which you previously walked or lived according to the ways of this world. So the world's become our master. According to the ruler, which is Satan, who exercises authority over the lower heavens, he becomes our master. And the spirit now working in disobedience. And so that spirit of disobedience and rebellion becomes our master. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshy desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. So in other words, we're living under being dead spiritually. I am serving a master. It's a world, it's sin, it's Satan, it's demons, it's all the lust and everything that is there. I have a master. But when grace comes knocking, hallelujah here, all right? When grace comes knocking on your door, it's like, I'm gonna offer you another master. You have somebody else to be able to serve. And man, that just emerged out of our teaching this last Wednesday night in a very, very powerful way that it ever emerged. But and all that is based on Ephesians 2:4. When we get to Ephesians 2:4, he says, but God, you know, we're under the enemy, we're under demonic influence, we're under the world, we're under fleshly desires, we're under the power of sin, but God, he knocked on your door, you know. Y'all gonna wear me out. Doc, I'm glad you're here, okay? I might need your help. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, he's raising us up. It's a picture of resurrection and ascension and being seated in the heavenlies. Remember, everything of the world is descending or deteriorating or decaying. Everything of the Spirit of God is ascending. It's in a phenomenal way. So I have a grace says I can live under another master. And it's incredible. We ask why. Why does he do this? He didn't have to do this. Why does he do this? Exodus 34:6 gives us the picture and the character and the heart of God. Then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed Yahweh, the Lord. The Lord is a compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger, rich in faithful love and truth. So I want to tell you something that happened yesterday. And it's going to be about my grandson. Y'all going to get sick of hearing about John. But I really don't care, you know, honestly. So yesterday was not a good day. I was very weak yesterday and trying to rest for today. And so Julie's like, have you seen the video and that Maria had sent? And I said, oh, no. And she goes, you got to look at it. And so our grandson, John, is moving from 4 months to 5 months. He's strong and intelligent, you know, like his grandfather. And he's in his walker now, okay? And so Maria, our daughter-in-law, had videoed him. And he's tiptoeing and pushing that little walker. And he's so proud of himself. And he's so excited. And they're just oohing and aahing, you know. And man, it just almost brings me to tears even now, you know. And just watching his as he progresses. And as I prepared this today, which I prepared it a long time ago, but as I was reading over it, I know how I felt. I'm his grandfather, not his dad, but I'm his grandfather. And I knew what it made me feel to watch him do that. You know, I didn't let Julie know it, but I'd play it over and over and over and again, because we guys are one time and done, right? And so I'm just like, I'm replaying this, and it's just all that's welling up with me. And I just had to stop and think, you know, our Heavenly Father looks at us, and when you and I get it, and when he sees us seeking him, and even though it's baby steps, pun intended, even though they're baby steps, man, he wells up. Like, they're figuring it out. Death to life. Serving under the master of Satan and demons and world and flesh and lust and sin. And now grace knocks, and he is my master now, no longer all of that. And even though they're baby steps, he sees that. And he just like, man, they're getting it, you know? I just looked at John and I'm like, he's starting to put it all together. And that's what he does with us. He sees us being able to put that all together. The major sequence here is death to life. And that's what Ephesians 2 is really bringing out. God calls you from the master of death to him who is the master of life. And we capture that. So let's look at this sequence in Ephesians 2:8-9. Let's watch this together, and we'll build that up. So if you'll go to the passage, thank you, Kim. It says, for you are saved by grace. You are saved by, it's a saving grace. He's revealing here not only that he can save you, but you need saving. this revelation right here is happening, that not only does he have the power to move you from death to life, you need to move from death to life. You're undeserving. You have no hope, no direction. You're lost, you're doomed, you're guilty. And it is a revelation. This grace revelation is a revelation of all that he is, and hang on here, all that you are not. All that you are not. And this grace leads to salvation. There's no other way for us. There's no other chance for us. Doing good doesn't get it done. Doesn't get it done whatsoever. My only chance in him is of being found and delivered and free and new and rescued. It's revealed to me when he presents his grace to us. When all this comes together. And this grace also has a sequence. Not only is it saving grace, but it leads to a faith. It leads to a faith. And it's our ability to be able to see and understand. Like I grew up a preacher's kid. Some of y'all know that. And I really, what I'm about to tell you, I really believed it. We lived in the parsonage, which was on the church campus. And church was all of my life, you know. I mean, it was just everything, whether I wanted it to be or not. And so I had it all figured out, my logic, you know, my steps, my sequence. This is how I was going to get to heaven. My dad's a preacher. I'm Southern Baptist. Of course, we all know that, right? You know, so my dad's a preacher. I live in the parsonage. I live on the church campus. You know, everything I do is church. And so I already had in my logic that the way I'm getting to heaven is through all that. But predominantly my dad and the preacher. So that's my way into heaven. I just got to tell you, you know, I know this. I've recently preached a revival there last July. I took a picture of the pew where I was sitting. I remember it like it was yesterday, that I had all that logic. This is how I'm going to be saved. This is how I'm going to go to heaven. It's all through my dad, through church campus, through church life and all that stuff. So one specific sermon on one specific night, the Lord was he revealed to me that none of that is true. Right. Just none of that was true. Jeff, your only chance is through me. Right. It was a greater revelation than that, but I mentioned the sermon may be short, so I'll leave it there, okay? But it was a great revelation of his grace to me, and I was moved by it. It was his revelation to me that I needed saving, and he's the only one that could do it. And here's what happens. Hebrews 11:1. We're going to go here. It talks about assurance of our faith. In Hebrews 11:1, it gives a picture of what it looks like. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for. It's the proof of what is not seen. There was an understanding there that I had that I did not generate, of who I was and who I wasn't and who he is and what he could do. And that was my only chance. And that revelation of saving grace came to me, and it gave me this trusting confidence that I knew he could do it, and I knew that it needed to happen to me. And as David Crowder said, the theologian David Crowder says, there's this beautiful collision, you know, of I needed saving, he could save me. And I knew that I had a trusting confidence in the fact that he could do it. Some argue, because we're going to get into a moment, that this saving grace is not of us. It's not of our works. It's not of ourselves. And some argue that faith is works. It has nothing to do with you. It just happens. And then some are even arguing that it's not works, and it's part of our response. I just want you to know, I'll be academic for a moment here, but Paul doesn't see the tension of that at all. He writes that freely, that it is we are saved by grace through faith. He doesn't see any tension whatsoever. But let me help you with this for a moment. Maybe this will help you. There's the revelation of God's grace that I just shared in my own testimony. And it's my sin and my need of salvation, and he can deliver it. He's my only hope. But knowing this gives me assurance that I can trust him to do this. That I know he's wanting to be my master, and that I can trust him to be my master, and he has the ability to be able to do that. His revelation of grace is so strong that it draws us. It draws us. So it's faith that God has revealed it. I want you to listen to this. It's faith that God has revealed it. It's also faith that God has provided it salvation. And it's faith makes me understand that I need it. And faith lets me know that I can't get it anywhere else. But I go to him. And you're going, hey, preacher, can all this happen at one time? Sure. Can all this happen over a great period of time? Sure. Yeah, it does both. It can be instantaneous, and it can be absolutely a process of your life of just understanding that you can have a trusting confidence that he can save you and that you need saving. The Ephesians 2:8 gives us a warning here, Paul does. And he said, this is a gift, and it's not from yourselves. You didn't do it. We're picking these Thessalonians passages to start off the sermon each Sunday up until Palm Sunday because it shows the work of Christ. It's the heart of God. Grace is the heart of God, but it is fulfilled in the work of Christ, not in our work. It's not us. And it becomes a gift. And then we have to ask these questions. Is grace a gift? Is salvation a gift? Is faith a gift? Are they all separate gifts? Is there only one gift and it's grace and these others are products of it? Or is it all three of them? And some scholars separate it and some combine them all and just say it is a gift. But I want to answer this with 2 Corinthians 9, 13 through 15 for just a moment. It says, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with others through the proof provided by their service. And they will have deep affection for you in their prayers on your behalf because of the surpassing grace of God that is now in you. Verse 15, but thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So you can separate them if you want to as a pastor, and I'm not an uneducated pastor. I put them all in there, you know? I mean, I just want to be thankful for the saving grace of God. I want to be thankful for grace. I want to be thankful for salvation, and I want to be thankful for faith that I can have a trusting confidence in him. I just lump them all together myself, and you think, well, that's the easy way out. And I go, well, just thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, all of it I see is coming from him anyway. And then Ephesians 2:9, it says that this is not from works so that no one can boast. You may ask the question, hey Jeff, can Christians brag? Can we boast? The answer is yes, we can. But the answer is we boast on the things of God. Yes. We boast on the things of God. We brag on what God does. We tell stories to our children on what God has done. We cross from death to life. Remember Ephesians 2:4, but God. Here's just a simple way I look at it, and this is a way that I pray and to be that kind of a preacher, and that is I just see grace knocking on the door of our heart and our life in revealing to us that he has the power to save. You need saving. There's no other chance you have. And man, when that revelation comes and that understanding, that faith, that there's a trusting confidence in that, man, all that just works together. You know, it's all an ingredient into what happens into our life. But I go back to the switching masters that we handled Wednesday night. I just think grace knocks on our door and says, you've been serving this master. Satan, demons, world, flesh, sin. And he knocks and he says, I'm offering you the chance to have another master. One who can deliver, free, rescue, save, make do, make new, and endure. I'm asking you to switch from all that old demonic, satanic master to a one that loves you and is gracious. And listen, are you going to hit all this? No, but you're going to be like my little John. Now, Miles, you got to text him twice. Miles always texts Andrew every time I mention John in a sermon. So it's like Daniel Boone putting scratches on his gun, you know, every time he kills a bear. So I mean, I know how I felt looking at that. And I was like, man, he's putting it together, you know. And there's a lot in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but we're putting it together. Yes. It's salvation and grace and faith, and we're putting it together, and we're taking these baby steps. And man, I just think he plays the video over and over and over. He's getting it. He figured it out, and he desires that. And he raises us. Man, he seats us in the heavenly. He sees us. It's all ascending. You hear what I'm saying? It's all ascending. And I probably need to stop. Romans 11:6 is the verse I want you to see. Now if by grace, then it is not by works, us. Otherwise, grace ceases to be grace. It's all him. And I'm grateful that we have a God that reveals his grace to us. I go back, the old hymns of my tradition and my history are ingrained into my head. And I got to thinking about this hymn. It's called Grace Greater Than All of Our Sin. And I'm only going to do one verse and then one part of the chorus. Excuse me. And some of you may know it. Some of you may have only hear it for the first time. But listen to this one verse that I've chosen. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, the blood of Christ. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. Switch masters. He knocks, he reveals. He becomes our master. And guess what happens? Here's the sequence, death to life. Only he can do it. I pray that you go to him. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. It's a simple sermon, but we know that you reveal your grace to us, that you can save us, that we need saving, and that we can have a working, trusting confidence that you keep your promises. And we put all that together and we walk with you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to have you as our master and raise us to life. We thank you for your saving grace and the work of Christ. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, find your spot. They're here to pray with you, for you, or over you. You may hear and you want to surrender your life to the Lord. These are people to help you in taking that next step that you need to do. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.